ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ. कठोपनिषत् आल्सो बिलोङ्ग्स् टु कृष्णयजुर्वेदः. देयरफोर् कृष्णयजुर्वेदशान्तिपाठः is very well known, very familiar one. All of you already know the mantra. It's Sahanavavattu. We already chanted Sahanavavattu because it's regularly we are chanting in the very beginning of our class. Now, to begin Kathopanishad also, let us do the Shantipatha first. Om Saha नाववतो सह नौ भुनक्तो सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Before we briefly see the meaning of the Shantipataha and before we enter into the actual study of the Upanishad, I wanted to briefly make it very clear that Upanishad is a Pramanam. Upanishad, why do we study the Upanishad? Because very Upanishad, the title itself means Brahma Vidya. And here it is a Pramana Granthaha. As it is a means of knowledge of the reality, the means of attainment of the knowledge of Brahma Vidya, Brahma. This text is known as Upanishad. So, Pramana Granthaha. So, Pramanam itself means a means of knowledge. So, here in this context, we need to know all the terms we use here. I have said this many times as part of this Upanishad teaching also, as introduction. A brief introduction. I'm not giving elaborate introduction because now you all know very well how Upanishad forms part of the end portion of the Veda known as Vedanta Shastram. So I don't need to elaborate on all those things. The word Pramanam is derived from the root Ma. And we take his ma, you form a gerund, knowing. By adding the relevant affixes, we get manam. So ma is a root belonging to second conjugation. The verb is mati, like gachati, patati, likhati, mati. Mati means measures. When you add the prefix pra, it becomes pramanam, then the dental nakara becomes cerebral. Pramanam, manam, measuring. Pramanam, accurately knowing. Pramanam. So, pramanam. So, pramanam. That through which something is accurately measured, understood, known is pramanam. That pramanam is a valid means of knowledge. A valid means of knowledge is pramanam. Therefore, here, if the means of knowledge must be operated, only then it can serve as a means of knowledge. That the one who operates the pramanam is pramata. Pramata. So pramatru shabdha. Rikarantaha pullingaha pramatru shabdha. Pramata. In nominative form, if you say pramata means knower. The one who uses the pramanam is pramata. So pramanam is an instrument of knowledge. A means of knowledge is pramanam. A valid means of knowledge is pramanam. Pramata is a subject of knowledge, the knower. If the pramata uses the pramanam, the instrument of knowledge, it must result in the rising of knowledge. It must result in gaining, attaining the knowledge. So knowledge is prama. Prama. Prama or pramitihi. Prama akaranta shabda. Pramitihi. Pramitihi. Okay. Pramitihi. Ikaranta stilinga shabda. Prama pramitihi. Both words mean the same, knowledge. So pramata, the knower, the subject of knowledge. Pramanam, the valid instrument of knowledge, means of knowledge. Prama, knowledge. Then, knowledge of what? The pramanam is operated, used. The knowledge rises. Knowledge takes place of what? An object. The object is prameyam. So prameyam is actually the word prameya. Meya, prameya. Actually, it's a potential passive participle. Like geya, deya, like that. So prameya, that which can be known through a pramanam. That which can be known through a pramanam is prameyam. So prameyam, an object of knowledge. So pramata, the knower. Pramanam, valid instrument of knowledge. Prama, knowledge. Prameyam, an object of knowledge. All these four factors are associated. Three factors are associated with jnanam. Pramata, pramanam, prameyam. Three factors are associated with the jnanam, prama or pramitihi. Pramanam is known as pramanam because prama karanam pramanam. Anena prameyate iti pramanam, that through which, by which something is known, something is arrived at, understood, measured accurately is pramanam. And in the Vedic tradition, there are six pramanams always taken into account. Considered. There are six pramanams. In fact, I need not talk about all the pramanams, but still I wanted to just, at least in this Upanishad, because now again I'm redoing all the Upanishads from the beginning, and we have only done Mundaka Upanishad, and I just wanted to briefly introduce before I enter into the actual Upanishadic study. We have the six pramanams. Six means of knowledge always mentioned in the Vedic tradition, accepted in the Vedic tradition. First is pratyaksha pramanam. Pratyaksha pramanam. Pratyaksham means Aksha means sense organ. Pratyaksha pramanam, when you say the direct, a means of knowledge using which an object is, a knowledge of an object, an object is arrived at directly using the sense organs. An object is directly perceived, arrived at. So the pratyaksham itself means perception. So pratyaksha pramanam is direct knowledge of objects through perception. So pratyaksha pramanam. So we can understand all, we use five sense organs to have pratyaksha jnanam. All sense organs serve as pratyaksha pramanani. We see something through, directly through our eyes, through, we hear the sounds through our ears. Of course, we taste through our tongue. We know heat and cold through our skin. We smell through our nose. Therefore, all five sense organs serve as direct means of knowledge, instruments of perception. So, pratyaksha pramanam, and which is used always from the time you wake up until you fall asleep. We use this five sense organs, direct instruments of perception, until we fall asleep. Pratyaksha pramanam. So perception is the first instrument of knowledge. Then anumanam, pratyaksha pramanam. Then we have anumanam. Anumana pramanam or anumanam. Anumanam, again, anumiyate, anenaiti anumanam. Anumiyate, pramiyate, known. Anumiyate, inferred. Something is inferred through this. Anumanam is also known as anumitihi, not anumati. Okay, anumiti. Anumati is permission. Anumitihi or anumanam. Anumanam. Anumana pramanam. So anumanam, inference. But inference is also a means of knowledge. To have the knowledge of an object through inference, of course, is possible only if there's already the pratyaksha jnanam. There's already knowledge born of perception. So anumanam is based on inferential knowledge. Anumiti jnanam is based on pratyaksha jnanam. It cannot function independently. So anumanam, inference. Based on the knowledge of something which you already have through perception, something can be arrived at through inference. Seeing the footwear of a person at the doorstep, you infer the presence of the person, even if you did not see the guest. You do not know, but you see the footwear at the doorstep, and that is pratyaksha jnanam. Then based on the pratyaksha jnanam, you infer the guest has come. The presence of the guest inside the house. There is inference. Anumiti pramanam. Anumitihi or anumanam. So inference is another means of knowledge. Then thirdly, we have arthapattihi, animitihi, anumanam, then arthapattihi, arthapatti pramanam. Arthapattihi is very close to anumanam, animitihi. Arthapattihi is presumption or assumption. You presume or you assume. Something like inferring. So, arthapatti jnanam also. The knowledge, assumed knowledge also, presumed knowledge also, is based on your perception only. So, arthapattihi. Presumption. Then we have upamanam or upamitihi. Upamanam or upamitihi. I'm giving two words. One neuter gender word, another feminine gender word. Upamanam, upamitihi. Anumanam, animitihi. Pratyaksham, pratyaksham. Pratyaksha pramanam, anumanam, animitihi. Arthapatti pramanam. Now we have upamanam or upamitihi. Upamanam is comparison. In order to have the knowledge of a given thing, that given thing can be compared to something else which you already know. So, comparison of one thing with the other thing is possible if there's already the knowledge of one thing which is compared to. Therefore, whether it's a comparison can serve as means of knowledge only if there is a pratyaksha jnanam. Upamitihi, upamanam, or arthapatihi, inference or presumption are also possible only if there is already pratyaksha jnanam. So anyway, pratyaksha jnanam, direct perception, is the basis for your other means of knowledge. Upamanam. For all these three, upamanam, upamitihi, arthapatihi, and anumanam. Anumanam, arthapatihi, upamanam. For all these, pratyaksha jnanam is important. Only based on pratyaksha jnanam, based on the direct perception only, any comparison is possible, inference is possible, assumption, presumption also is possible. Then we have another means of knowledge. Anupalabdhihi, anupalabdhihi, anupalabdhihi. See, labdhihi means attainment. Labdhihi, attainment, gaining. Upalabdhihi, also attainment, gaining. Upalabdhihi, gaining, attainment. Or you can say presence. Okay, upalabdhihi means presence. Anupalabdhihi, na upalabdhihi, non-presence. What negative particle? An, you add. So you get the word anupalabdhihi. Anupalabdhihi means absence, non-availability. Anupalabdhihi means non-availability. Upalabdhihi, availability. Anupalabdhihi, non-availability, means absence. So, anupalabdhihi, non-availability, which means non-availability or absence, also here serves as a means of knowledge, which means to have the knowledge of presence, knowledge of something which is present. Also, we have pratyaksha, all the pramanams. Sometimes anupalabdhi also is a means of knowledge. Abhavaha, absence, non-availability is anupalabdhi pramanam. Then we have Shabda Pramanam. This is sixth one. Shabda Pramanam. Shabdaha means a word. See, the word Shabdaha literally means sound. So Shabdaha means sound. Word is a meaningful sound. When the cat mews, a dog barks, they're all sounds only. But they're not meaningful sounds. You can't make out anything. Maybe cats can make out or dogs can make out their own sounds. But we cannot make out. Therefore, a shabdaha, a meaningful word, is meant by the word shabdaha, a word. So, shabda pramanam. So, words also serve as pramanam. Means, here shabdaha means a meaningful word. So, words serve as pramanam. So, words can be used to describe a given thing, to arrive at it. Again, words are also expressions of manifestation of knowledge. So, words are used to communicate, convey our ideas. And words are used to describe a given object. So, through words also, we can arrive at a given object, a given thing. But here again, the Shabda Pramanam. Either words can be spoken or words can be written also. So written words, likitaha shabdaha, written words, or uchyamanaha shabdaha, or spoken words, serve as means of knowledge, Shabda Pramanam. There again, Shabda Pramanam, we have the six Pramanani, Shat Pramanani, Pratyaksha Pramanam, Anumana Pramanam, Arthapati Pramanam, Pumana Pramanam, Anupalabdhi Pramanam, Shabda Pramanam. So here, Upanishad also is a Pramana Grantaha. Upanishad is Pramana means Upanishad comes under the category of Shabda Pramanam. Upanishad is Shabda Pramanam. Here again, only difference is when words are used as Pramanam, means of knowledge, to arrive at something. Generally, laukika jnanam, to have the knowledge of objects of the world, the words used are expressions of manifestation of knowledge. They are words, but only they can explain only the objects which form part of the world. Whereas here, the words used in the Veda Shastram, words used in the Vedanta Shastram, the Upanishads, these words are not the word expressions of the manifestation of knowledge. These words are the words received by people of certain, people who have certain degree of mental discipline. So that is inexplicable mental discipline. People of certain degree of mental discipline who are capable of, who are qualified to receive the words directly from the space itself. And those words are the Vedic words. So Vaidikaha Shabdaha are different from the Laukikaha Shabdaha. But still there are also words received. And people who received knowledge of subtle facts, in fact, not only Vedantic teaching, the entire Veda Shastram consists of words wherein the knowledge is hidden. Knowledge is, all the Vedic words are pregnant with knowledge. Knowledge pertaining to karma, knowledge pertaining to mental discipline, the minds, of course, knowledge pertaining to the reality. So these words, all these words are, actually the words are received words. So they are Vaidikaha Shabdaha, words of the Veda Shastram. And people who are capable of receiving such words, conveying the wisdom, knowledge, are said to be Mantra Drashtaraha. Mantra Drashtaraha Rishayaha. Or Rishihi. Singular word is Rishihi Rishayaha. Mantra Drashta, Mantra Drashtaraha. Who got these words received, who got these words revealed to them, or Mantra Drashtaraha. And it is said, these words are there timelessly. They're always there. And every time the world becomes manifest, again, this Vedic wisdom also becomes manifest along with the manifestation of the universe. Again, this Vedic teaching, Vedic wisdom, through the lineage of teachers, again, it flows down to the people of different generations also. This is what the Vedic tradition states. Anyway, so now we know Upanishad comes under the category of Shabda Pramanam. But again, the Shabda Pramanam means not like any other textbook, any textbook presenting any subject matter. It can be physics book or mathematics book or chemistry book. Every book is Shabda Pramanam. Every book consists of written words which serve as means of knowledge of given subject matter. So those words contained in all the books pertaining to the material sciences, also Shabda Pramanam only. But there we say, Laukika Shabdaha, the words describing, explaining, conveying, presenting the knowledge of the material subject. Objects, the material subject, whereas Vedic Shabdaha are very unique. They reveal which cannot be revealed, which cannot be known through any other Pramanam. The words of the Veda Shastram reveal something which cannot be known through any other pramanam. It's a unique pramanam. But every pramanam has its own limitation. Every pramanam, any pramanam can be used as instrument of knowledge only to arrive at a given object. We have, in keeping with the different objects of knowledge, the pramanams also are different. And here, Vedanta Shastram serves as a pramanam the means of knowledge of the very truth of the reality, the truth of the universe, the reality of the universe. There is the reality, there is the truth of the universe. And the truth is very much there, timelessly, all-pervasively. Inhering everything in this world, in this entire world, always. In him, out the very world, reality is available. Reality is. And again, Upanishad makes it very clear, no other culture talks about the existence of the reality. All the cultures talk about God, Lord, and they have their own concept of God. There's no clarity there. But Upanishad makes it very clear, there is Vastu, there is the reality, Satyam. Sadvastu. And that reality can be arrived at only as one's own essential nature. There's no way of arriving at the reality other than knowing the reality as your own self. And that where is it available? Upanishad makes it very clear, don't waste your time. The reality of the entire cosmos has to be arrived at, has to be known. There's no choice. And to arrive at that reality, you have to know your own Swarup Self. Reality is available for knowledge, recognition, only as your own self, as yourself, in your own mind. As the very content of the first person singular pronoun I, in your own mind, as the very truth of the mind, truth of the thoughts, and the truth of I, reality is available. This fact also makes it very clear. In fact, the very purpose of life is arrived through the Veda Shastram. Purusharthas are defined very clearly in the Veda Shastram. Arthakama dharmaha are purushartaha. These are the human pursuits. How do you know? Veda Shastram makes it very clear. Once you arrive at it, it is the Veda Shastram. Only through the Veda Shastram, you understand how arthakama dharmas are relative ends. Moksha alone is the absolute end. Even this we understand through the Veda Shastra. And again, and moksha is a choiceless end. We arrive it through the Veda Shastra. And without undermining, underestimating, we also know the value of the pursuit of Arthakama Dharmas. How Arthakamas must be pursued. How Dharma should be followed. Why Dharma should be followed. Even other cultures may teach the values Dharma, but the value of values is emphasized in the Veda Shastram. Because in the Vedic tradition, even the accomplishment of heavenly, enjoyment of heavenly pleasures or heaven, etc., heaven, etc., are discussed even in the Veda Shastram, but going to heaven is not an ultimate goal. Even going to heaven, etc., also comes under the category of artha pursuit only. Artha pursuit. Artha kama pursuits only. They're not, it's going to heaven, etc., is not considered as the ultimate goal. Ultimate goal, absolute end, is something which cannot be attained through action. It has to be arrived at only through jnanam in terms of the discovery of the truth. It is the Vedanta Shastram. Veda Shastram makes it very clear the connection between the knowledge of the truth and the attainment of the ultimate goal, moksha. It is Vedanta Shastra makes it very clear that knowledge and moksha are identical. Knowledge itself is freedom, the ultimate choiceless end of a human being. So all these are discussed very clearly in the Veda Shastram. Veda Shastram serves as a pramanam even to understand all these facts. So Veda Shastram itself teaches us how we should live our lives. The way of life also is taught by Veda Shastram. Following that way of life, alone one can become mentally pure and steady. The adequate mental refinement required for the attainment of knowledge itself is possible only if we follow this way of life enjoined by the Shastram. There's no way. That's why the way of life enjoined by the Shastram is a non-improvable. Okay. It can't be improved anymore. It's already well-designed way of life. And it's universally acceptable also because way of life is governed by dharma. The universal values. So the way of life is taught. Veda Shastram serves as a means of knowledge of the way of life. Thereby, it helps us have adequate mental, emotional maturity, mental refinement. And once, if you have adequate mental refinement, then Veda Shastram, the end portion of Veda Shastram, the Vedanta Upanishad, also serves as a means of knowledge of the truth in the wake of the knowledge of which the mind becomes absolutely mature. See, absolute mental maturity is possible only in having the clear vision of the reality. Which is the clear vision of one's own essential nature. The reality is implied by the term Brahman. Therefore, Brahma Jnanam is nothing but Atma Jnanam. Atma Jnana Praptihi is Brahma Jnana Praptihi. Knowledge of one's own self is knowledge of attainment of knowledge of one's own self is the attainment of knowledge of the truth of the entire cosmos, which is even Bhagavat Sakshatkaraha and the vision of Paramatma, Bhagavan. So in the attainment of Jnanam, there's absolute, total, complete mental maturity for which one has to be adequately prepared. Completely, totally unrefined, unprepared minded, raw-headed will not be eligible to attain that jnanam. So one has to become adequately refined in order to become absolutely refined. So with adequate mental refinement required for the absolute mental refinement in terms of attainment of jnanam is possible only if a person follows his way of life enjoined by the Shastram. The Veda Shastram serves as a means of knowledge of the way of life one has to follow in order to become adequately mentally prepared. The Veda Shastram also teaches, serves as a means of knowledge of the attainment of knowledge of means of attainment of knowledge of the truth. Thereby, Veda Shastram helps a person, absolutely mature person. An absolutely mature person is God Himself, Bhagavan Himself. So a human being, before, when he is emotionally immature, he is an animal, like any other animal. then following way of life, then that's how, then converts a person from the time of initiation to study of the Veda, a human being, then Veda Shastram converts a human being into God. There's no physical conversion. It's a cognitively converts a person. What is cognitive change, cognitive conversion, cognitive shift? It is tremendous effort on the part of a human being. And he needs a guide, he needs support, he needs help. And there's nothing other than the Veda Shastram, nothing other than the Vedanta Shastram, which, because it is Vedanta Shastram alone, serves as a means of knowledge of the truth obtaining as one's own self. Okay. This is the very simple basic introduction I wanted to do today. Now, let us enter into, even though I don't want to any introduction at all, straight away I wanted to go to the Upanishad. But without saying these few things, I cannot go ahead. Okay. Then Sahanavabhutu, Shanti Pataha. Of course, we all know very well, any Shanti Pataha ends with the 3 times Shanti. Why 3 times Shanti? Peace, peace, peace. Why? Definitely, again, Shastram has thoroughly analyzed and presented this fact. Human beings go through mental agony, pain, emotional pain, when there are obstacles in accomplishing whatever they want to accomplish, when there are impediments. Therefore, the pain, the emotional, the mental agony, the pain scorches the mind like heat scorches externally things. Okay, tapaha bahyan scorches the, it really scorches the things, heat. In the same way, agony also scorches the mind. Therefore, pain is also meant by the word tapaha. And the pain is caused by varieties of obstacles, different obstacles, different impediments, different struggles for different people in achieving different things. Of course, there are obstacles in the attainment of jnanam also. There will be obstacles in living a life of dharma. Even people find it very difficult to follow dharma. There will be always obstacles. In pursuing artha, there will be obstacles. In pursuing kama, there will be obstacles. When you make efforts to live a life of dharma, there will be many obstacles. Of course, in attaining jnanam, in the pursuit of jnanam, there will be many obstacles. So obstacles will always cause pain. So obstacles arise only from 3 different sources. There's no 4th source of obstacle. Yourself and anything, everything around you, then natural crisis, calamities. Where is the 4th source of obstacle? No 4th source of obstacle. Therefore, all mental agony, pain caused by obstacles arising from 3 different sources is said to be tapatrayam. Tapatrayam. Pain caused by obstacles arising from a set of 3 sources. So tapatrayam. So tapatraya nivrityartham. Adhyatmika tapaha, adi bhautika tapaha, adi daivika tapaha. So tapatraya nivrityartham. I'm not elaborating on these tapas. Again, you know already. I don't need to take time here, which I've already explained many times. So tapatraya nivrityartham. தாபத்ரய நிவாரணார்த்தம் த்ரிவாரம் சாந்திருச்சியதே. சாந்திஹி இஸ் இட் த்ரீ டைம்ஸ். ஓகே, நவ் வி ஹாவ் திஸ் மந்த்ரா. இட் அ பியூட்டிஃபுல் பிரேயர். தட் இஸ் வை திஸ் மந்த்ரா இஸ் சாண்டட் நாட் ஒன்லி பிஃபோர் திஸ் எஜுகேஷன் ஸ்கூல்ஸ் இன் இந்தியா, சம் பிளேசஸ் even gurukulam also we always chant this mantra even before eating, you know, because always it's very important even to maintain good relationship, to avoid unnecessary wrong perceptions. So somehow this mantra is very well known everywhere. It is chanted not only vedanta students, everybody is chanting because it's a good mantra. Very common. So prayer for absolute protection is a prayer for relative protection, and prayer for friction free lubricated relationship with the teacher, in between teacher and the taught, is a beautiful prayer. Om, quickly we'll finish it. Om சகநாவவது. நவ் சஹ நவ் அவது, we have to break this. சஹ நவ் அவது. Why சஹ நவ் அவது becomes நாவவது? Now you are all Sanskrit students, you know அயவாயாவ சந்திஹி takes place. My God, I had to wait so long to tell this. You know, before I had to simply, I used to say this. Saha nau plus avatu nav avatu. That's a euphonic combination that is happens. Ayavayava sandhi takes place. Saha nau avatu. Saha nau bhunaktu. Second sentence, we don't need to work. Mantra itself presents clearly. Saha nau bhunaktu. See, avatu bhunaktu. Both words mean the same. Avatu may protect. Bhunaktu may nourish, may protect. So saha. Saha means together. Not sa with visarga. Sa with ha sa letter. Saha. Saha means together. Avatu is an imperative verb. Third person singular imperative verb. Let protect. Let protect. May protect. So let protect. May protect. Who should be requested here? Who is prayed to? As may protect. Bhagavan. Paramatma. The only absolute protector. Bhagavan is the only absolute protector. So Bhagavan, Paramatma is implied there. So may Paramatma, may Bhagavan, okay, Sarva Shaktiman, Sarvajnaha. So the all-knowing, omniscient, omnipotent, almighty Bhagavan, who alone is capable of protecting, ultimately, may Paramatma protect us. Now means naha. Okay, naha, us, plural word. Now, dual. Mam, now, naha. Asman. Mam may protect me. Now, protect us, both of us, both. Protect both of us. So the teacher, the student and teacher, its protection is prayed for both teacher and the student taught. Saha, may Bhagavan protect both of us, the teacher and the student, together. How can Bhagavan protect you? Absolute protection is possible only if a person has jnanam. Artha can give you relative protection, relative security. any amount of wealth, etc., anything which makes you feel secure can make you feel secure only for length of time. Senjamanda precious can help you forget your pains and things for less some time. Living a life of dharma will protect you relatively. But absolute protection is possible only in jnanam. Unless, say she's a bitter truth, okay, unless and until you discover what you are. Unless and until you discover the truth obtaining as your own self, there's no way of correcting the error in the perception of yourself. When there is error in the perception of yourself, definitely you are helplessly, your perception of the world also erroneous. So long you will be the victim of the problems caused by erroneous perceptions, you can't help. So in becoming the victim of problems caused by erroneous perception, of course there will always be insecure and there will always be fear, fear, fear. Even if you say, I don't care, I don't have any fear also, that expression itself is expression of fear. So whoever says, I am not scared, I am not afraid, you know, I don't care, I am not frightened at all. When they say, please understand that expression itself is expression of fear. Because they have to say, there's a fear of not being considered to be frightened. Okay? Therefore, what I want to say, you can't help. You will become the victim of problems caused by these erroneous perceptions of yourself and the world. And there'll be sense of insecurity, there'll be sense of immortality centered on I, and there'll be fear of death, fear of losing something. Fear will always be there. So as long as the phenomenon called fear is there in your subconscious, it will be surfacing in different situations of life whenever it is triggered. It's the possibility of the phenomenon called fear triggered from your subconscious, it will surface. Fear will always surface. Fear always surface. Because fear is always there, already there in your subconscious. The pain is always there in subconscious. How are you going to clean your subconscious? There's no way of completely wiping out your subconscious mind. You cannot do it. There's always fear. The fear is there, anxiety is there, pain, pain is there. Sorrow is already there, always there. Sorrow is already always there in your subconscious. Pain is there, so in subconscious. Pain means emotional pain. And the fear is there in subconscious. And when these three are there, when the fear is in subconscious, when sorrow is in subconscious, naturally, other things also will be there in subconscious. Other emotions are also there. Jealousy, hatred, anger. My God, don't think anger is not there. Okay, when you are not angry, don't think there's no anger at all on your part. There is anger. Anger, there are like strong likes and dislikes. Anger, jealousy, hatred, they're all in subconscious. Who's subconscious? In every subconscious mind. Subconscious, in the subconscious mind of every human being, all these are there, hidden. They're all dormant, latent. They do not surface. Okay? But there will be situations and interactions when we have to interact with the society, interact with the people, interact with people around. At home, family members, outside other people, we have to interact. So when we interact with the world around, the people around, and there'll be situations which become instrumental helplessly. They become instrumental for these dormant, latent emotions to be triggered. And when they're triggered, they surface. And what do? We mistake the external situations, which are only instrumental in triggering these emotions. We mistake them to be responsible for these emotions. And we also blame the situations and people around for our problems. They're triggered. Therefore, how are we going to handle it? Whatever we do, attend meditation classes, go here, go there, do that, and go for peace retreats. I tell you, nothing will help you. Nothing. Shastram says, okay, Pooja Swami used to say, and Paramatma used to say, only dose immediately close. Or a dose, utane close. That is Swami's expression. For this, all that you need is only you can escape from being the victim of the problems caused by erroneous perceptions. Only if you discover what you are. And discovering what you are is the greatest discovery, because discovery of the truth of the whole cosmos. In tiny little mind, you can discover the truth of the entire cosmos. That is why this human mind is so great. It is possible. Upanishad say is there to help us arrive at it. Therefore, what is absolute protection? May Bhagavan bless and protect both of us, the teacher and the student, by blessing us with clear knowledge of the truth obtaining in our own mind as our own swarupam. This is absolute protection. Why? In the wake of the clear vision of the knowledge of the truth obtaining as your own swarupam, when your perceptions, errant perceptions, become corrected, my God, the fear of mortality resolves. Fear of becoming subject to death resolves. Fear of death goes, means the very phenomenon called fear resolves. All emotions also will resolve effortlessly. You don't need to undo them. You need not give up fear. You cannot give up fear. You cannot give up anger. You cannot give up desires. You cannot give up jealousy. You cannot give up anything, because you are not holding on to anything. They will disappear without any leaving any trace behind. They will disappear just like that. If the problem centered on I becomes resolved, the errant perception of the self and the world becomes corrected, for which you need the knowledge alone. Therefore, knowledge of the truth, knowledge of your own self, is the only source of protection. Nothing else. Therefore, may Bhagavan bless both of us with knowledge, thereby protect us. So being blessed with the knowledge is being protected. The first prayer. Sahanau bhunaktu. May Bhagavan protect both of us. How? May Bhagavan protect us relatively also. May Bhagavan protect us by blessing us with knowledge of right and wrong, by blessing us with knowledge of values, by blessing us with the strength to live, follow values, follow dharma. Thereby, may Bhagavan protect us relatively. May Bhagavan protect us relatively. May Bhagavan protect us absolutely. May Bhagavan protect us by blessing us with the benefit of the attainment of benefit of knowledge. Even to enjoy the benefit of knowledge, we need tremendous Bhagavan's grace. Tremendous grace of Bhagavan we need even to enjoy the benefit of jnanam. For we say, may Bhagavan protect us by blessing us with the attainment of benefit of knowledge. Bhagavan protect us, blessing us with the strength to live a life of dharma. May Bhagavan protect us relatively. May Bhagavan protect us with relative protection and absolute protection. What is relative protection? May Bhagavan protect us by blessing us with the strength to live a life of dharma. Thereby, may Bhagavan bless us with relative protection. May Bhagavan bless us with a clear vision of the truth, attainment of knowledge, and the attainment of benefit of knowledge. Thereby, may Bhagavan bless us with absolute protection. That is, we have asked twice. Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai. Viryam Karavavahai. May we both. Viryam literally means strength. May we both have the strength. Strength, physical strength, emotional strength. Viryam Karavavahai. Which implies, may we both be physically healthy, mentally healthy. May we both have physical and emotional strength. Viryam Karavavahai. Saha Viryam Karavavahai. May both of us together be strong and have strength. That teaching will be happening in a friendly atmosphere. That learning will be possible in a friendly atmosphere. Sahaviryam Karavavahai. Then, Tejasvinavadhitamastu. So, Tejasvina Adhitam Astu. Tejasvino Adhitam Astu. Adhitam means understood. So made teaching imparted. Here, this prayer is specifically for a student. May the teaching imparted by the teacher, given by the teacher, be understood properly, correctly. Tejasvina avadhitamastu. the two interpretations of this sentence. Tejasvi nau adhitamastu. Tejasvina avadhitamastu. So may the teaching important be understood properly. Thereby, may I have the brilliance. See, if the teaching is understood properly, how should the teaching be? It must be bright and clear. Tejasvi. Adhitam. Whatever has been understood, be clear and bright. One meaning. So may teaching be understood properly, thereby may have the brilliance and glow as a result of having the right understanding, proper understanding. Tejasvina avadhitamastu. Tejasvina adhitamastu. Ma vidvishavahai. And then vidvishavahai literally means may we hate each other. Ma vidvishavahai literally means there's no reason for the teacher and the student to hate each other unnecessarily. What it implies is may we not hate each other means may we not have any frictions. Emotional frictions. Which means, may we both have good relationship, friction-free, lubricated relationship. Very important. Only then teaching can happen smoothly. Learning will be possible also. If you're disturbed by emotions, emotionally, you cannot learn anything. The teacher is disturbed emotionally. He cannot communicate anything. Therefore, may we not be disturbed emotionally. So may we not have any, our relationship not be affected by emotional disturbances. So let there be effort on the part of this teacher to come down to the level of the student and teach. So let there be effort on the part of the student also to rise up to the level of the teacher and try to understand what is being taught. So thereby, may we both have good, friction-free, lubricated relationship. May we not have any hatred towards each other. Ma vidvishavahai. With this prayer, we say Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. This is the brief explanation of Sahanavavatu Mantraha. Because I've done many times before. I didn't want to take again much time in this. But still, okay. Now, really I want to enter the Upanishad today itself so that we can continue with the Upanishad tomorrow. So here, Katha Upanishad. Why it's called Katha Upanishad? This Upanishad belongs to Kathaka Shakha of Krishna Yajurveda. The Upanishad is named after the branch belongs to. Kataka Shaka, the branch called Kataka. So, Krishna Yajurveda has many branches, and one of the branches is Kataka Shaka. As this Upanishad belongs to Kataka Shaka of Krishna Yajurveda, it is called Katho Upanishad, Katha Upanishad. And this is the Upanishad begins with the story. The teaching is given through the story. And this Upanishad has two chapters. Adhyaya Dvayam. Kathopanishadi Adhyaya Dvayam Asti. The two chapters. And each chapter has three sections. Totally, we have six sections. Like in Mundaka Upanishad, we have three chapters, but in each chapter, we had two sections. Totally, six sections. And there, Mundaka Upanishad, we saw the section is meant by the word Khandaha. Prathama Khandaha, Dvitiya Khandaha. Like that, in each, the chapter was known by the term Mundakam, and the chapter, the section was meant by the word Khandaha. But here, the chapter is meant by the word Adhyayaha only. And the section is meant by a word Valli. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the section is known by the term Brahmanam. In Mundaka Upanishad, Khandaha. In Jnanadvaipara Upanishad, Kandaha. Here, section is meant by the term Valli. Valli, ikaranta stilinga shabdaha, pratham. Okay, that's why there is a prathamaha khandaha, first section. Prathamam brahmanam, first section. But prathama valli, look at the difference. Prathamaha khandaha, prathamam brahmanam, prathama valli. All three words mean about first section only. Brahmanam is a neutral gender word. Khandaha, masculine gender word. Valli, feminine gender word. Therefore, Prathama Valli, we say. Anyway, two chapters have totally six sections, three in each chapter. And the section is known as Valli. And this Kathopanishad also is one of the 10 major Upanishads having the honor of being commented upon by Adishankara Bhagavatpadaha. That is why we are studying here. We'll do the Mula Grantha first, then we'll do the Bhashyam also. So we'll be studying this Upanishad with the Bhashyam. But first we'll do the Mula Grantha. Mula Grantha Adhyayanam. Mula Grantha Patanam. Study of the original text is very important first. Before, study the text with the commentary. This I've told you many times. That is how the tradition accepts the study. If we see the whole, let us take first the Prathamaha Adhyayaha, the first chapter of Kathopanishad. And here we have three sections. In the first three sections, if we take, in the first chapter, the whole of the first section presents only certain things, introductory things. It means the Upanishad is introduced in this, the first section, even in a few mantras of the second section. The actual teaching comes only later, in the later part of the Upanishad. means first two sections you cannot find the actual Upanishadic teaching. But here, if we can understand how in Mundaka Upanishad, the very first mantra begins with the glorification of Brahma Vidya, the teaching. So here also, on the very beginning itself, there is in the first section, if you see the whole of first section where Upanishad is introduced properly, in this introductory portion of the Upanishad, the first section or the first chapter, not the few mantras of second section, generally all over, we find this teaching, what we understand everywhere, not systematically, but what we understand there. And those mantras, if we see, definitely there is first always the glorification of the knowledge of the truth. Prashamsa. Brahma Vidyayaha Prashamsa. The glorification of this great knowledge of the great reality. Unless knowledge is glorified, we may not show much interest. Therefore, in order to enthuse the students, to strengthen the interest, to sustain one's effort, Upanishad always presents the glorification of this knowledge of the truth. This also we see in this introductory portion. Secondly, this knowledge of the truth, Brahma Vidya, should never be pursued independently without the help of the teacher. Because it must be studied with the help of the teacher, that it must be repeatedly unfolded carefully. The words of the Shastram serve as the mirror which reflect your own Swarupam. As I already mentioned, the pramanams, all those six pramanams which we saw in our introduction, serve as means of knowledge of objects. Because you are here, the knower, and you are the knower of the world of objects. To have the knowledge of objects other than you, we use those pramanams, means of knowledge. Here, when you are the knower and you yourself have to be discovered, what has to be known is also you. You are the knower. When the knower, subject of knowledge itself, becomes the object of knowledge, knower has to be discovered. To have the knowledge of objects, other pramanams are very useful. Other pramanams are the limitations that they cannot help. They are operated by you, the knower. So they cannot serve as means of knowledge of yourself. But here, you are the knower and you are the one to be known also. Therefore, to discover your own Swarupam, to discover the knower, not the known, to discover the knower, the pramanam is Shastram. The Shastra has its own unique way of reflecting your nature. And therefore, it's very abstract and subtle because formless. What you have to arrive at is formless, abstract reality. It needs to be unfolded. Therefore, in order to arrive at the abstract, subtle truth revealed by the Shastram, the words have to be handled properly by a teacher. Therefore, Brahma Vidya should not be pursued independently, studied with the help of the teacher only. This fact also is brought to light in the introductory portion. Okay, now we understand. So, importance of teacher in pursuing the knowledge is also brought to light in this portion. Thirdly, how should the teacher be? Which means, in order to play the role of a teacher also, the teacher must be disciplined. The teacher must be endowed with certain characteristics. In order to be a role model also, and also to give the vision. Therefore, the characteristics of a proper teacher also are discussed in the introductory portion. It is not that systematically one by one all these are discussed here, but these are all the topics. I mean, we find in all over the first section and also in the beginning of second section. The third. And if we see, even the disciple, the student who is aspiring for this jnanam also, it's not enough if the aspiration, if the interest is there on the part of the student. The student must be also endowed with certain disciplines, certain virtues and values. He also must have certain qualifications. And those qualifications required on the part of the student, the disciplines to be followed by a student, etc., are also discussed in this introductory portion. So, qualifications associated with this student, characteristics associated with the teacher, importance of teacher, and the glorification of knowledge, all these are conveyed in these, discussed in this introductory portion. Okay. Now, if you generally ask, what do we understand in this introductory portion? That is the first chapter, the first section of the first chapter, and also in some mantras of the second section, there's only introduction of the Upanishad. Is important or not? Just because it is introduction, we can't say it is unimportant. It's equally important. Because these are all the important factors discussed. What are all the important factors? Glorification of knowledge, importance of the teacher in pursuing the knowledge, then characteristics of the teacher, the qualifications of the teacher, and the qualifications, the disciplines pertaining to the disciple. All these factors are discussed. Okay. With this introduction, let us enter into the study of the Upanishad. Okay. Just to read the mantra, tomorrow we'll continue. It's already late. Om Ushan Havai Vajasravasas Sarva Veda Sandadau. Om Ushan Havai Vajasravasaha Sarva Veda Sandadau. Tasyaha Nachiketa Nama Putra Asa. Om Ushan Havai Vajasravasas Sarva Veda Sandadau. Tasyaha Nachiketa Nama Putra Asa. As I said, the very first mantra begins presenting a story. And in this story, an important person is introduced. And the disciple's name also is mentioned. The guru has not come into the picture. Who is this disciple? Nachiketa is the disciple, the student who is going to ask for Brahma Vidya, was going to be blessed with that knowledge. And Nachiketa, and he who is he? Not ordinary person. He is a son of a great person. For Nachiketa, a young boy, we are going to know more about Nachiketa later on. This Nachiketa was a son of a very great person. That's why he himself became great later on. His father was Vajash Shravasaha. Who was he? How was he? What did he do? Etc. We'll begin the Upanishad tomorrow morning. Okay? What is the end of class? Any questions?
Yes, Swamini, can you give an example for this third Anumanam? I didn't understand the difference between the second and the third Anumanam.
Okay. I said very close, presumption, Arthapatihi, and Anumanam. See, inference, I said, as I say, I give the example of, you see the footwear at the doorstep. When you go out and come back, when you go out, there weren't any footwear. When you came back, you saw a footwear. So you assume, you infer somebody else has come. That is inference. So perception of the shoes, the footwear, is the basis on which you infer that some guest has come. And here, presumption, arthapatihi, also you can say, is very close to, very, very, very close to inference only, here also. I can same example, so I can say that. You see people, you are inside the house. You do not know what is happening outside. But suddenly you hear some big noise on the roadside. Big noise you hear. That is perception. And you open the window and see through the window. Okay. And you don't know what exactly has happened, but you make out something must have happened. Because you see a huge crowd. Big noise is happening. Huge crowd. A lot of people are there on the roadside. And are shouting and screaming. Something has happened. You do not know exactly what has happened. At least the crowd, seeing the crowd and the sounds, you presume something must have happened. What exactly has happened, you do not know. Something must have happened. Got it? That is presumption. Somebody has definitely come, you know that, because the shoes are there. That is inference. But something has happened. You don't know what exactly has happened. Something has happened. It's presumption.
Thank you very much, Swamini.
But both you need perception as the basis. Anyway, see, I tell you, each pramanam must be studied elaborately. It's a big topic. I don't want to take a lot of time. That's why I just introduced the words and just I went ahead. Maybe some in some other context I will take this topic of pramanams and elaborately explain also again. Okay. I want to just start the first mantra. I have not yet explained the first sentence which mantra which I have studied. I have read today. We'll do it tomorrow. The thing is, we need to know how to read the mantras correctly also. See, Mundaka mantras are very, very clear mantras. In Kathopanishad mantras are not, see, Ushan, Havai, Asa, Vajra, Shravasa. Mantras are different. So we need to learn to read the mantras correctly, then know the word meanings, then know the correct meanings, then we'll also see the Bhashyam. We'll see one section first, then we will go back to the Bhashyam. That. Every section we finish Mula Grantha first, then we do the Bhashyam, then we'll go to the next text. That's what I'm thinking this time. Okay, so tomorrow, I'm looking forward to the next class. Okay, tomorrow's class. See you all tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.